Okay, get my gavel out, make it official. And good morning. I'm going to go ahead and call this session of the Kitsap County Hearing Examiner to order. For the record, today is Thursday, September 7th, 2023 at 9 a.m. We have two items on the agenda set for 9. The first on the agenda is the Hyde Conditional Use Permit, and this is number 2055536. And then the second item that I think there might be more interest in is related to the Shirley Wetland Buffer and Setback Reduction Critical Areas Variance and Zoning Variance, and that's number 2203914 and 2200285. So if you are here in relation to that second matter, the critical areas variance, we will get to it, but just please be patient if you could. So in terms of the first item, this involves a request. Oh, grab the wrong one. Here we go. My wait, hold on. Apologies. Here we go. All set. Okay, a request for approval of a conditional use permit to allow the construction of an approximately 800 square foot accessory dwelling unit or ADU on a 2.27 acre residential property at 10553 Seaback Highway Northwest in the unincorporated area of Kitsap County. My name is Andrew Reeves. I serve as the county's hearing examiner, and today will be my role to collect evidence in the form of exhibits and testimony to determine whether this specific proposal is consistent with the county's comprehensive plan, zoning ordinances, critical areas ordinances, and then the specific requirements for approval of a conditional use permit under Section 17550.030 of the code, as well as the specific requirements for an ADU under Chapter 17415 of the code. To that end, I received, I think, 23 exhibits is the number on this first matter that I had an opportunity to read in advance of the hearing today. And these include a staff report prepared by county staff, the application materials themselves, information on the review process that occurred between staff and then various departments and agencies, information on the site plans, the information on the review that occurred under our state's Environmental Policy Act, or SEPA, including the determination that was ultimately issued by the county in relation to this proposal. Information on the notice that was provided in relation to the application, as well as today's hearing. We've got, I believe, a presentation that's been put together and some plans. And I think there was a geotechnical report on this one that was prepared as well. So I'll go ahead and admit those exhibits into the record. Should anyone have additional exhibits they would like admitted into the record, let me know when it's your opportunity to testify, and I'll address admitting additional exhibits at that time. I sometimes ask questions of those that are testifying. I'm not trying to trip anyone up, just trying to ensure I have a thorough understanding of the proposal so that when the record closes, I'm able to produce a decision that is hopefully clear and legally defensible. And then finally, the order that we typically follow is that first I'll swear in planning staff, who will give an overview of the review process that sort of led us to today's hearing. And then if there is a member of the applicant team or the applicant here on this project available to participate, we'll hear from them. And then we'll see if there are any members of the public interested in testifying. And if so, they would have that opportunity. And then after that, we would see if there's any response from members, two members of the public from county staff or the applicant. So with that, I'll go ahead and get staff sworn in and we'll get started. So if we're ready to go, thank you for being here. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth in testimony you give here today?
I do.
There we go. And if you could state and spell your name for the record.
My name is Joshua Bennett, JOSHUABENNETT.
Great.
And
And go ahead.
I'm an associate land use planner with Kitsap County.
Great. Thank you so much. And did my sort of rundown of the exhibits track with what you were hoping I'd look at in advance of the hearing today?
Yep.
Okay. With that, then I'll let you go ahead. And I believe one of those was a sort of PowerPoint, correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
All right. So this is for the Hyde additional accessory dwelling unit for the conditional use permit. That is the last slide. Let's see. How do we go back to the beginning here? Do I just there? And that is the permit number 22-055536. The applicants are Sam and Wendy Hyde. The application was deemed complete on January 19th, 2023. A notice of application was sent on February 13th. That should say 2023, not 2013. I'll get that corrected. And the determination of non-significant was issued on July 19th, 2023, and no comments were received. This is the proposed location of the accessory dwelling unit. It's in 10553 Civic Highway Northwest. It does match the surrounding area as well in terms of use, single family homes, garages. The zone is rural protected, and the rural protected zone, all the properties surrounding it are also zoned the same. And the proposal for the accessory dwelling unit does meet all the requirements for the zoning setbacks as well. As you mentioned, there is a geological moderate erosion hazard mapped there. The applicants did submit the needed documents to address that per Title 19 for the accessory dwelling unit. So that has been taken care of and reviewed. This is the site plan that shows the location of the proposed approximately 800 square foot accessory dwelling unit and the existing home, which is 1,851 square feet. They are about 84 feet apart. And this site plan also does show that it meets the setbacks for the zone as well. They will use the same access off the same road, use the same driveway. This is the floor plan for the existing home that verifies the number of square feet for the home to verify the size of the ADU that it meets the code requirements of either 50% of the primary house or 900 square feet, whatever's less. In this case, the applicant's proposing about an 800 square foot ADU, which meets the code. And this is the floor plan of the submitted accessory dwelling unit that verifies that as well. Here are the elevations of the accessory dwelling unit that we look at to see if it matches the overall aesthetics of the house, and they do. And as you mentioned, the criteria that we use for checking to see if the proposal meets all the code, 17415015B, and it does meet all these requirements as stated. And with that, the department finds that the proposal is consistent with the comprehensive plan, and we recommend approval.
Okay. Thank you. Just a couple questions for you. There's some, as I went through the materials, there seem to be some discrepancies in describing the size of both the single family residence and the ADU, but my best guess is it had to do with habitable area versus actual building envelopes. Was that the case to the best of your knowledge, Mr. Bennett?
Yeah, there was some questions on the first round of submittals, but those were cleared up with the second cycle of submittals, and those were all cleared up. So yeah, there was some questions about it, but on the second cycle of submittals and the permit, that did get cleared up. Yes.
Okay. So any reference to 1,164 square foot ADU?
That is not correct.
Involve eaves or outdoor non-habitable area, but the actual habitable area as we think of it in terms of what's allowed.
Right.
For the ADU square footage would be 800 feet, certainly under 900 square feet, correct?
That's right. The total square footage per code it's measured from the interior. And so the interior of the proposed accessory dwelling unit is about 800 square feet. There's porches and things like that, but those aren't included in the what's allowed per code.
Got it. Okay. So I assumed as much, but I just wanted to make sure. So, okay. And then just a couple other basic ones. Let's see. Water on site, I'm pretty confident, or as far as I could tell, hold on. Well, my understanding is there's a well on site that would provide water, but I think in the staff report there may have been reference either in the staff report or somewhere else to some other way of water being obtained. Can you verify one way or the other how potable
Well,
water would be provided?
my understanding is that there is a well on site and
Okay.
septic as well. I believe in the conditional use permit and in the staff report, I believe that the I have to look up to see exactly, but I believe I mentioned something about how that health approval document will be reviewed at the building permit level. So they didn't supply that with this conditional use permit, but that'll not get done. Well, the building permit won't be issued if they don't provide that in the building permit. So
Well,
the
right. They can't get a building permit without the CUP that we're dealing with today. And what you're essentially saying is there's some things that need to be verified later, or signed off on. And one of those will be ensuring, obviously, that there's appropriate utilities, et cetera. I just wanted to make sure that all I'm trying to point to is in the staff report, it references the fact, I think on the first page, that water and power to the new proposed ADU would be provided. There's reference to Kitsap Public Utility District and PSE, but my understanding, again, as you noted, was that it's a well, it's not some other way of getting potable water, correct?
That's right, it's a well.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure. And on that same page, there's reference to the old ADU criteria, and I hate to be a stickler, but I feel like this has happened many, many times at this point. I think it's on that very first page of the staff report. The actual analysis that's done later is with the new criteria, and my understanding is that was the new criteria is what we're under. But I just so we
That's
got
correct. Yeah,
our okay.
it is under the new criteria, and I thought I had checked to make sure all the references were for the new citations, and I missed that one.
Like I said, I not trying to be too difficult about it, just that this is now, fifth or sixth time, not always you, but like I know those changeovers are tough, but at some point I gotta start putting the hammer down on it. So okay, let's see. We talked about the well. Oh, my understanding is this is also a critical aquifer recharge area. There wasn't a ton of discussion about that. I assume that's because things like ADUs, single family residential, one home doesn't, it's exempt from further review. I just wanted to verify though that I think that was in the geotech that was prepared.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, I assumed we were on the same page there. I think those were the specific questions on this particular matter that I had for staff. So, any other members of staff you intended on calling on at this point?
No.
Okay. Do we have anyone on behalf of the applicant on this particular project?
Yeah, it looks like we have Sam online, and his hand is raised.
Okay. So the person identified as Sam, if this is one might think Sam Hyde, happy to hear from you. You might need to unmute yourself at this point with the unmute button.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, is this Sam
Okay.
Hyde?
Yes, it is.
Great, thank you for being here. I'm going to envision your hands up, but do you swear or affirm to tell the truth in testimony you give here today?
Yes, I do.
Okay, and if you could just state and spell your name for the record.
Sam, Sam Hyde, Hyde.
Great, thank you. And you're the property owner, correct?
Yes.
Okay, thank you for being here. This is your opportunity to present any additional information or clarify anything.
I just wanted to clarify that the well is, we were on a shared well, and stipulations were that we had to have our own well. So that is in and done.
Sorry, just to be clear, you were on a shared well, meaning with the single family residence that already exists.
Yep.
You were using a shared well, but knowing then you wanted to put this ADU in the future, you drilled a new well. Is that right?
Correct.
So that new well then means no longer have the shared well, or I mean, I'm sure it's still there, but you're not using it. And now you've got a well on your own property, and it will serve both the ADU and the main residence.
Correct.
Okay. And I believe that was in, there was some info on that, I believe, in the materials. So thank you for clarifying that. And along the same lines, if I remember right, the primary was served by septic, but there's an additional septic that has or will be going in to serve the ADU. Am I remembering that right?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Great. Anything further than you were hoping to clarify about it?
No, that was it. I just wanted to make sure you had that information.
Thank you. And before you go, I just want to make sure. So if you had an opportunity, you read the staff report. There's several recommended conditions of approval. And if you had a chance to read the staff report, I just wanted to see if all that made sense. You saw anything that you wanted clarification on or?
No, nothing that really stuck out to me, no.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much. I don't have any further questions for our applicant, but thank you for being available, Mr. Hyde.
Thank you.
Okay. And as far as we can tell, anyone else there recognize several of the other names for the next matter. But if you were here hoping to discuss this first matter, the Hyde 80U, please hit the raise hand button. No, and nobody in the room there, as far as we can tell. No, okay. With that, Mr. Bennett, anything further or final from staff at this point?
Not at this time.
Okay, well, I think I ultimately have what I need to make a decision on this. I think our new sort of default rule in Kitsap County is we'll leave the record open until tomorrow, end of the day, just in case someone had a tech issue today. If so, please, you know, reach out to staff. Not that you would have heard me say that just now, but point being, the records will be open till end of day tomorrow, and a decision should then be forthcoming after that. So with that, we can conclude the first matter. I think we have a different staff member presenting the second matter. And Mr. Hyde, no need to stick around. If you have other things to do, thank you for being here.
All right. Thanks for having us.
Okay.
Bye now.
And we'll just take a minute here to switch gears. I'm going to mute myself momentarily while I make a bunch of noise shuffling things. Okay, Jenny Krebs, are you ready to go?
I am ready, thank you.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and start on our second item on the agenda for those that weren't here for the very beginning and the record as well. It's September 7th, 2023, now about 9:20. And we are here at the Kitsap County Hearing Examiner for the second item on our agenda. And this is numbers 2203914 and 2200285 involving a request for approval of a critical areas variance or CAV to allow reduction of a required wetland buffer from, I think, 110 to 25 feet, but we will talk about that. as well as a structural setback related to that buffer from 15 feet to 7.5 feet, as well as ultimately a zoning variance to reduce a front yard setback that would be required from 50 to 40 feet. And this would be to allow construction of a single family residence on a currently undeveloped property that is approximately 2.5 acres at 9615 Northeast Dronawood in the Kingston area of unincorporated Kitsap County. A lot to say. And for those that were, again, not here earlier, Andrew Reeves, County's Hearing Examiner, and in this particular matter, my role will be to collect evidence in the form of exhibits and testimony to determine whether this proposal is consistent with the county's comprehensive plan, zoning ordinances, critical areas ordinances, and then the specific criteria for approval of critical areas variance under the code, as well as the zoning variance that has been requested. And to that end, I did receive several exhibits in advance of the hearing that I did review. I think we currently stand at 39 as the number, and there are definitely sub-exhibits, but these include a staff report that was prepared by county staff, the application materials themselves, which is sort of in two phases, because initially the thought was that a zoning variance was required alone, I guess, and then later it was identified that critical areas variance would be required, so more materials were ultimately provided, so just pointing that out. But these ultimately did include critical areas report and a buffer mitigation plan related to those critical areas on site, and then the various back and forth review that occurred between county staff and the applicant, information on the notice that was provided of the application. And there were several public comments early on, even at that point, information on the notice of the hearing that ultimately occurred, information. Sorry, just wanted to make sure. Apologies. Okay. And again, there was multiple rounds of notice, again, because two different types of permits were ultimately identified. So just to be clear, there were quite a few public comments that ultimately were provided. And so they're split up into about three or four time frames. And I do want to point out that there were public comments that I did receive I think yesterday was the last round, and that is what we have is exhibit 39. And so I will try to be clear about what I have already received in the record. And if there was anything else that came in, we can talk about it, but ultimately 39 was the number that we ended up with. So I'm going to admit those into the record. Should anyone have additional exhibits they'd like admitted, let me know when it's your opportunity to testify, and I will address admitting additional exhibits at that time. And then the order that we typically follow, like did just now in the last hearing, is first I'll swear in staff, who will give sort of an overview of the iterative review process that led us to today in the hearing. And then we'll hear from the applicant and their team, as it were. And then members of the public who are interested in testifying will have that opportunity. And then after that, any response from the applicant and county staff. So thank everyone for being here. I'm just checking. It looks like there are several folks in attendance, and we will get around. I promise the folks having an opportunity to testify, and I'll try to direct traffic as best as I can when we get to that point. But at the outset, I'll go ahead and get Jenny Kreifel sworn in. So with that, if you're ready, do you swear or affirm to tell the truth in the testimony you give here today?
I do.
Thank you. And if you could state and spell your name and then explain your role here at the county.
Alrighty. My name is Jennifer Kreifels, JennifreKreifels. And I'm a planner here with Kitsap County Department of Community Development.
Great. Thank you so much. And did my sort of mumbling through the proposed exhibits track hopefully with what you were hoping I'd look at in advance of the hearing?
Yes, sir. We were going to, or I thought I had to enter them this morning, but it sounds like our administrative staff have already forwarded onto you, and exhibit number 39 is correct.
Well, just to be clear about that, because I want to make sure I haven't missed anything, I can tell you that what I had is exhibit 39 were additional comments, I believe, from three members of the public, I don't have first names on my notes right here. Joseph Lubisher, I believe, had submitted two additional comments, and we have those as part of exhibit 39. Heyman, I don't want to take too much time. Heyman. There we go. Also had an additional comment from what was earlier submitted, and then I believe Elizabeth Nichols had an additional comment. So essentially three people providing additional comments that had commented earlier. Does that track with? Okay, good. So
yes, sir. That is perfect. Thank you.
That's what I had as exhibit 39, and I definitely was able to read everything before our hearing today. So I think we're all set, and I'll let you get started at this point.
All right. Thank you, and good morning, everyone. Thank you, Examiner Reeves. I've already stated my name and spelled it again. It's Jennifer Kreifels, and today I will present a critical area variance number 2203914 and a zoning variance as well, number 2200285. To allow for new construction of a single-family residence in the North Kitsap County. And I will go to slide two. Excuse me. The applicant does request approval of a critical areas variance application to reduce a standard wetland buffer by approximately 88%, allowing for one single-family home on a lot heavily constrained by critical areas. A critical areas variance request is subject to a type 3 process with hearing examiner approval. The applicant can currently request approval of a zoning variance to allow a nearly 20% reduction of the required front yard setback from 50 to 41.5 feet pursuant to the zoning variance criteria in Kitsap County Code 17560. This request is a type 2 process, which typically is administrative and generally under director's approval. However, it is dependent on the critical areas variance approval, therefore is included in this report for the hearing examiner approval. Kitsap County Code 2104180 allows for the consolidation of project permit applications to avoid duplication of review. An application for a building permit, which is number 2104860, has been submitted for this site, and that was done September 7th, 2021, and it is under review pending land use approval. And here is slide three. The applicants are Brandon and Jolie Shirley. They purchased the property in 2019. The critical area variance application was deemed complete March 3rd, and the notice of application was distributed March 28th of 2023. The project is SEPA exempt under Washington Administrative Code 197-11-800, number 1 and number 6E for single-family residential construction, as well as land use permits, and also per Kitsap County Code 1804. Public comments were received and are addressed on the following slide, which is slide 4. And these public comments include topics listed here, critical area protections, impacts to habitat, wetland, and Carpenter Creek, denial of the permit, requiring greater than a 5-year monitoring plan, sign posting placement, timeframes to comment in itself, retention of vegetation on the property, critical area ordinance signage retention, past behaviors impacting natural vegetation retention, eradicating canary reedgrass, complicated boundary lines, and clarifying habitat scores that were received, as well as slope analysis. Slide 5. Here we also had agency comment from the Suquamish tribe. They provided comments that only successful species should be replaced, and that also planting should go into the ground in the winter season. and that heights of vegetation, including canary reed grasses, be added into the data collection for the monitoring plan. Here we have a vicinity map. The site located in North Kitsap is addressed at 9615 Northeast Ronawood Drive in Kingston. It's known as parcel 43440000260007. The parcel became a legal lot of record in 1977, known as Lot 26. It was done through a land division plat called Kingston Country Estates Division 2. The site is accessed from Northeast Dronawood Drive, which is county maintained public right of way. And I'll go to slide 7. The property here, the aerial shows it's located south on the south side of Dronawood Drive. It's at the intersection, a corner property with Parcells Road. It is currently undeveloped and is composed mostly of wetland with an area upland about midway along the north property line that follows the grade of Dronawood Drive. There is a gradual rise in elevation from the west and down on the east side. The upland area is wooded with a band of maintained grass on all sides and is dominated by young deciduous trees and scattered conifers. The wetland begins on either side of the wooded upland and is part of the large wetland system that extends south to Kingston Farm. The on-site portion is composed of forest, scrub shrub, and emergent communities, with the emergent area immediately adjacent to the wooded upland. Carpenter Creek is a type F stream and it requires a 150-foot buffer. It flows southerly through the western portion of the lot. The wetland is a Category 3 system, and that requires a 110-foot buffer. We'll go to slide 8. And here we have a zoning map. It indicates the parcel is zoned rural residential, so density is one dwelling unit per 5 acres. Standard setbacks for rural residential zoning are 50 feet at the front, which would be in the north, or to the north in this case, and then 20 feet at sides and at the rear property lines. And the proposed front setback is 41.5 feet, 75 feet to the east, 217 feet to the west, and 234 feet to the rear. Go to the slide 9. The critical areas ordinance map indicates parcels are within a hydric soil layer, which means potential wetlands, as well as having mapped wetlands along Carpenter Creek, which is the F-type stream I mentioned earlier that flows through the site. So construction of a 1,617 square foot single family residence with attached garage is proposed in the small upland area at the north portion nearest to the property line. An associated drain field and a driveway accessing from the north are proposed to be placed further landward of the critical areas and beyond the single family residence. The building site and drain field have been placed so that they do or would lie outside the 150-foot buffer from Carpenter Creek. Slide 11 shows a stream and a wetland delineation map from wetland delineation and the buffer mitigation plan conducted by Ecological Land Services. That was dated November 15, 2021. Again, the upland area, it is roughly 22,064 square feet in size and is composed entirely of wetland buffer. The future single family home will be situated about, we'll see if I can use my pointer. I better ask for help here. Is this a little
red? Oh, hopefully not.
Okay, so let's see if I can. Will they see it either way?
I don't know. It's not going to be that
big circle. Can you see my pointer, examiner?
Are you asking me? Yes, it does appear you're using your pointer to circle something at the moment.
Okay, so I have help here. So here we have the proposed home where the cursor is, and to the north is the proposed drain field here. And let's see, the future single family home will be situated, as I said, about here. And it will maintain a 25-foot buffer around the perimeter of the upland. These reductions achieve a building envelope that is approximately 9,910 square feet in size. The 50-foot front yard setback required from Verona Wood Drive extends across about half of the upland area, and a small section of the home is located within that setback. The drain field is located between the home and Verona Wood Drive and entirely within the front yard setback. Building side and drain field have been placed so that they lie outside the 150-foot buffer from Carpenter Creek. There is a building setback of 7.5 feet proposed outside the wetland and the stream buffers. And here is slide 12, which shows historic aerials back to 1994, which are highlighted in green there at the corner of Parcells and Verona Wood. And it looks like it's pretty much open pasture at that time. Let's go to slide 13, shows a mitigation report, which would be provided, or I'm sorry, a mitigation report shall be provided in accordance with section 19-700-715. Acceptance of the mitigation report would be signified by a notarized memorandum of agreement signed by the applicant and the director or department director designee. The agreement shall refer to all requirements for the mitigation project. And this is a mitigation planting plan, which shows the proposed 9,910 square foot buffer reduction. The area of mitigation exceeds the area of the buffer impacts by 1.22 times. So there will be more buffer improved than impacted. Here's slide 15. The applicants have met the variance criteria in Kitsap County Code 19-100-135 due to having immense site constraints that were not self-induced and not resulting from the previous owner's actions. Granting the variance will not result in a substantial detrimental impact to the critical area, public welfare, or injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity and area in which the property is situated, and is not contrary to the goals, policies, and purpose of this title, and is the minimum necessary to accommodate the permitted use. No other practicable or reasonable alternative exists, and a mitigation plan has been submitted and is approved for the proposed use of the critical area. And here we have slide 16. The applicants have met the zoning variance criteria due to having, I think I repeated that word, but due to having immense site constraints, or maybe I missed paragraph, but I'm going to say it again. There is immense site constraints and special circumstances which were not created by the applicant, are possessed by other properties, and are not materially detrimental to the public welfare or injurious to properties in the same vicinity or zone, and which is the minimum necessary to grant relief to the applicant. And here is the last slide. And staff does find the proposal meets the critical area variance criteria in Kitsap County Code 19-100-135, as well as the zoning variance criteria in Kitsap County Code 17-560-010, and recommends approval as conditioned. This concludes staff's presentation, and thank you, Examiner Reeves, and I am here for questions.
Great, thank you. Certainly a few questions for you. Kind of working through maybe backward from what I've been looking at, but one of the exhibits that I received, I think it was 34, was prepared by ELS,
biologist.
Yeah, the wetland biologist. I know it's Joanne Bartlett. I just couldn't remember. Yep, Ecological Land Services. And which was very recent, just in the last less than a month. And that report that letter from August 21st of this year was responding to public comments. And it essentially said, the wetland in fact requires a 225-foot buffer, but that doesn't impact anything. I mean, A, all day today, we've been talking about reducing 110-foot buffer. I just was hoping to get clarification on that. I assume staff saw that. I know it came fairly recently, but...
I'll have to take a look at it while the applicant's speaking and maybe comment on it again. It was in response to concerns that were received. And so I am not quite sure. I believe there was something to the effect in the response that I'd have to look at it again. I just can't comment right now.
Well, I guess more generally than...
I believe that there was some rebuttal to the 225 foot, but again, I have to look at it.
I don't recall seeing that, but I guess what I would ask is, you know, I think the way I think about situations like this, it's almost, there's three potential sort of tiers, right? You can get in certain administrative relief if all you need to do is reduce a buffer. I think it's 20% or less in Kitsap County. If that is not going to be satisfactory, then next you would go to this process through the hearing examiner to get a critical areas variance where you're requesting that certain setbacks be reduced, you know, up to a certain percentage as well. And then if that still would not be satisfactory, then we'd be in the reasonable use exception or RUEX process, which essentially is making sure that we haven't denied all reasonable use of the property such that it would be a taking. At least that's my understanding, but my question would be, you know, just assuming for the sake of argument that the buffer required here is twice as big as was thought, is there a substantial difference in the analysis that needs to occur between the RUEX process versus the critical areas variance process? End question. So once again, do we need to think differently about a reasonable use exception versus a critical areas variance if we ended up there?
Well, I do have definitions here for reasonable use. I guess I'm not understanding the question.
Well, my question is, unless I haven't thought this through enough, and again, this was kind of through me as I'm reading through, it wasn't a huge file, but you know, I think it, for my purposes, it was around page 180 of 200. I saw this letter and all of a sudden it kind of threw me because it said, oh, you're right. I think this was specifically in response to comments from Reed Blanchard. And it said, you know, this is Joanne Bartlett said in this letter that there was a typo, you know, the report will be corrected and the buffer requires 225 feet. And unless I completely misread Ms. Bartlett's comments, but essentially saying the buffer ought to have been twice as big as has we thought was required. So really, if that's true, we're looking at a buffer reduction from, you know, 225 feet down to 25 feet. And I guess my question is, does that matter in the opinion of county staff or not? Does it change the mechanism to get a permit, i.e. is a RUEX different than a critical areas variance? Often it is, I believe it is, but that's kind of...
Yeah, I'm taking a look at what her response was for the points and that would truly make it a category 2 versus a category 3 wetland.
Right, so I guess...
I may have misread it when I went through it.
But if that's true, does it matter, I guess, is my ultimate in terms of...
Would it change to today's...
That's what I'm asking. Is
reasonable use expectations and From what I understand, I don't believe so. It might change some mitigation requirements.
Well, but I guess to
but
that.
But I don't know enough probably to answer
about it. You know, and does the public, should we give them a chance to think about it? Should we give others a chance? I'm just trying to get a sense of where this leads us.
Okay. Yeah, maybe we should take a break or a timeout or you know, we need to talk about it and discuss it.
I mean, I'm willing
to make sure we understand the material.
Okay, well, how about we do this? So just to be clear, my concern is that notice was provided, right, for a hearing with a specific context. And so if really the applicant's own expert says, you know, this category two requires a buffer twice as big, and then Joanne Bartlett says, but it doesn't matter. I guess what I'm asking is, does it really not matter? But even if, you know, there are things that make me a little worried, that's all. So if staff wants to take a few minutes and think about it.
Yeah, definitely a valid question, and we'd like to discuss it. That'd be great. Thank you.
Okay. Why don't we come back then at about 10, or do you need longer than that?
That'd be better. Yeah, that's great. Thanks.
Okay. We'll come back. Thank you. We will go back on the record. It's now 10 o'clock, and we took a short break to let staff sort of assess a curveball, as it were, that I guess I threw. But with that, Jennifer Kreifel, on behalf of county staff, I'll let you continue. What did you ultimately determine, et cetera?
Thank you. All right. So I've tried to collect my information here and get my head straight wrapped around it. So correct, after going through the letter, it is a category three, but the habitat score required it to jump to a category two rating. My apologies, I did miss that. And that would make it 225 feet of buffer rather than 110 based on that score and that delineation. And so I believe the question was, would this change the outcome of today's staff presentation? The numbers would definitely change in the presentation, but we would still ask for the variance criteria be granted regardless of that buffer because of the site constraints. Staff wants to exhaust all variance criteria first and foremost before we would jump to a reasonable use. Reasonable use allowance in 19100140. We try to save that for last resort after all other variances, both the land use zoning variance and the critical areas variance criteria has been exhausted. So I hope that helps answer your question and confirm that the 225 foot width is correct.
Sure. I guess what I'm trying to understand is there a certain number or a certain reduction percentage that triggers a different requirement? Meaning, you know,
rather than the one-to-one?
Sorry, different requirement meaning, and I was trying to look it up myself, but essentially, is there a point at which an applicant cannot just apply for a critical areas variance based on the percentages that are in play, and there's a required, you know, go further for a RUAX? This is different in different jurisdictions, and I myself was trying to check on this. But if you don't know the answer immediately, that I understand. I guess my concern is, one, are the criteria different? Two, is it problematic that, you know, the reports are, or even the mitigation plan is, the biggest one, are addressing a very different request to the extent, you know.
I believe the criteria in both of the variances would still be met. As far as the mitigation, we can look that up, 1:2 or 1:1. However, it's very unlikely that, I mean, this is what the variance permit is for. It's to try and create a no net loss and try to have more beneficial, mitigation if it can't be avoided. And, you minimize that impact and then you have to mitigate. And so this is a mechanism to allow somebody to build a home on what was thought to be a buildable lot. And then if that, cannot be done, then there is a reasonable use permit. And so it's a good way to mitigate and to know what is there on the property. I don't know, and I can't answer if because it's a single family home use that it's been denied here in Kitsap County, we'd have to look into that. I do know that other uses may not be approved, but I'm pretty sure that the criteria is met the same as far as site constraints, being afforded the same allowances in the vicinity and zone as other property owners. Sure. And for the use of a single family home.
I conceptually understand the idea, certainly, and I'm, fairly familiar with the concept of a, critical areas variance and, what that means and a reasonable use exception being sort of last resort to ensure that a taking hasn't occurred. But I am struggling with the concept that we don't have any of these answers at the moment and struggling with the idea that notice was provided for one thing and even the mitigation plan, the analysis that occurred by the applicant's own expert said one thing. And then in response to a public comment, I believe it was a public comment, or maybe it was the Squamish tribe, I don't remember, but the applicant's wetland biologist said, oh yeah, there is a mistake. It should be twice as large. I mean, it's not an insignificant change. And so it makes me pause, but if the county has no issue and feels confident we should move forward, I'm here. I'm happy to move forward. But I don't know what the applicant and what? It sounds like the applicant and county staff are ready to move forward.
Can you say just give us 5 minutes?
Can we please have 5 more minutes, Examiner Reeves?
Yes. And then at that point, we're either moving forward or we're going to continue this till later, but I'll give you 5 more minutes. Okay. Yeah,
thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Staff would like to ask for a continuance. That way we can ask the biologist to correct the staff report to include the correct buffer. And then we would re-notice.
So, sorry, when you say correct, I assume you mean correct their own report, and then staff would produce a revised staff report as necessary.
Yep,
that is exactly it.
And then furthermore, I don't believe it's necessarily ever required under the code, but I believe Kitsap County's critical areas code does allow for the option of requiring third-party additional review if you all decide that would be appropriate. I just get worried when things, to me it is problematic, so I just want to make sure that we're all
staff agreed and we want to do it right.
Okay, so with that then I guess it would be premature to pick a date certain, I think, right? I mean, we'll just, technically, I can only have one open record hearing. And so we have two options at the moment. We continue this. I can't say, oh, we'll be ready next month. We'll have to see. But essentially, we're going to pause. And ultimately, depending on what happens, either there will be a sort of, you know, new permit application for potentially a reasonable use exception, or this one will be reopened and renoticed, and the information necessary will be made available for review by those that may have concerns, members of the public, et cetera. And then prior, you know, notice will again be provided to ensure that folks know what's going on and are involved and made available. So I do see the hands up from members of the public. I am not going to have, you know, I'm ultimately just granting this idea that we're going to continue this. So I apologize if this is frustrating for folks, but just to be clear, that means members of the public are able to, continue providing written comments. The record is open, the record will essentially remain open until we come back, as it were. So that's going to be the plan. Curveballs happen, and we'll go from there. But I think with that, we can ultimately conclude the hearing today. Does that sound right?
Yes, thank you. And staff appreciates your patience and thank you for the continuance. And we will work diligently to get this project moving forward and concluded.
Well, you know, on my end, I will, await the materials coming in and we'll see where things go. But please make sure that, folks that want to participate or that are, identified parties of record or those that have requested to be involved. And for those that are members of the public, either in the room or on, Zoom right now, if you haven't been in touch with county staff, I would strongly suggest, getting an email sent in or something so that we are able to ensure. I'm not an employee of the county technically, but I want to ensure that those that want to know what's going on are able to stay in the loop. So while I do recognize several of the names on the attendees list, Jennifer Kreifels, can you tell folks the best way to get a hold of, you or someone else of the county to ensure that they are kept in the loop? Is there a good email?
Yes, they can definitely email me. I don't know how quick we can pull up the PowerPoint, but I do have my email. It is J Kreifels. That's K-R-E-I-F as in Frank, E-L-S at, right there on the bottom of the screen. So J Kreifels at kitsap.gov. Please send in your comments. That's what this is all about, is community involvement, and we definitely take it seriously here at Kitsap County. So we will do our best to let you know that we've received those comments, and we will get them forwarded on to the examiner by our next hearing. So they will be included in the record.
I wouldn't say by the next hearing, because I suspect.
I never say it right.
It's okay. I just want to make sure.
As we move forward.
There you go. So
thank you.
Possibly, though, if folks that have reached out and are sort of already we know are involved specific to this matter, the Kitsap County Hearing Examiner clerk, whether it be Caitlin or Amanda, someone will ensure that once we know the hearing date, in addition to all the other ways that is made, available and notified, with, posting or whatever. I don't think actually posting for the hearing, but folks that have provided comments and have email addresses that have been provided will be notified, I think, specifically that, you are on our list. This continued hearing is now happening on such and such date, so that, people are looped in. Am I correct in my thinking there?
You are.
Excellent. Okay. So anything further from you, Ms. Kreifels, before? Well, sorry. Final thing, just so we don't get confused, I would suggest Exhibit 39, I believe, were the comments that had come in prior to the hearing today. I would suggest anything now on is new exhibits, meaning, you know, try to keep the old record.
Individually?
Well, you can group public comments into one or two exhibits, whatever, when we get closer, if that's easiest. But I'm just saying, rather than try to slot things back in, you know, like, so new notice would be its own exhibit, you know, any new reports.
Got it. You know,
all those things. Does that make sense, hopefully?
Definitely, yes.
Excellent. Okay, I think then with that, we'll go ahead and conclude today, actually, with the Kitsap County Hearing Examiner. And thank you for those that wanted to participate. Certainly, you will have that opportunity when we get back around to this, but I really wanted to make sure everyone's looking at, you know, the same materials and updated materials. And as, you know, our planner pointed out, you know, hearing what folks have to say matters. And I like to convey, take it seriously, hence why I brought this up in relation to a public comment and the response to a public comment. So I think with that, we'll end the meeting. But thank you, folks. Wish everyone safety and good health.
Thank you.
Thank you.